Before we get started with this episode of Heart Convictions, hosted by Nina, my name is Brad, and I'm a part of the Hopecast Network, and I also host a show you may enjoy. If you love Heart Convictions, you're going to love Your Weekly Calling. Every Monday, it's a 5 to 8 minute devotional just for you. We love our listeners here at Hopecast, and what better way to start your week out than listening to God's Word on your way to work, working out, or just sitting at home. So make sure you like and subscribe to Your Weekly Calling after you listen to Heart Convictions, hosted by Nina on the Hopecast Network.
Hey, everybody, this is Ashley Arpel Steinbach, host of Locks of Laughs, Work Advice for Me, and of course, Movie Torture, aka I am the queen of the Hopecast Network. Or if you ask me, the queen bee. I hope you're all enjoying the amazing shows we have here on the Hopecast Network. And if you are, please don't forget to like and subscribe everywhere that you listen to or watch our podcasts.
This is the Hopecast Network. Stories and shows you actually want to listen to.
Welcome back to the Heart Conviction Podcast, episode 9 on the Hopecast Network with me, Nina Palmer, your host. Did you guys love the October series or what? I loved it. That last episode, the Harvest Party, shout out to Jules and Matt. It was so funny. You guys gave me the best feedback. Was it not just a hangout? It was just a good hangout, good time together, just wonderful. I appreciate all your messages that you guys sent me to on the heavy topics that we talked about, real topics, topics not a lot of people talk about. We talked about exorcism. We talked about the Satanic Bible. We talked about the war on truth. We talked about conspiracy. And I have no doubt that the enemy's number one tactic is to get you to belittle everything. It's to say, it's too spiritual. It's too much. You're over fantasizing it. You're overthinking it. It's, you know, it's ridiculous. That's what he does. And if he can belittle it, he will. And you should get used to talking about stuff like that. I would hope that you would have people in your life who would say, hey, let's talk about something abnormal, uncomfortable, spiritual, biblical. Let's talk about it, shall we? My favorite part in the October series was talking about the Satanic Bible. It is of my interest right now to study it. I am learning so much about myself and my heart and who I am by learning what we shouldn't be. And it's kind of always been like that, I think, for me. I don't have tons of huge role models in my life. Matter of fact, I've had more people let me down in my life than inspire me. And I have had to learn that my best examples come from what I don't want to be. So honestly, reading that text has been really good for me. I think what we're going to do is a whole nother episode, and we're going to go over the rest of the principles, even if it's just for myself. Maybe one day it'll hit you and it'll reach you. Well, I am recording live today from Denver, Colorado. I am here for a few things, but I actually got to go to another podcast event tonight. Really good, inspiring, just incredible. So if you are watching the video, the background looks a little different, and I'm hoping the sound is pretty good. I'm just out here recording in this hotel lobby, and whoever walks by, walks by. It's my first live audience, my first live show. So welcome to the show. And I'm also going live on TikTok right now. So you can add me on there. I believe my name on there is Nina Texas, I believe. You can find me, Google it, and you can see it first if you want when I record. If you happen to catch me, you'll get the episode uncut. You'll watch me delete and go back and delete and go back. So I have been following these trends that have been going on, if you've seen it, and it's the type B personalities talking to the type A personalities. And they're just so funny. And I made my own. I had the most type B planning coming here than you've ever imagined in your life. I wanted to come. I knew I wanted to come. I wanted to come for a few things, but some plans shifted. And I used to never be like this, but I considered canceling, and that's not me. And I very last minute decided to just go through with the trip, but I still had parts of it to plan. And it was so, I mean, when I tell you I was winging it, like the things I threw in my bag didn't make sense. I forgot most of them. But you know what? I'm having a blast. Who cares? If it goes wrong, who cares? I forgot my straightener. So I was literally before this event tonight, I took the iron out of like the clothes iron out of the closet, and I held the towel in one hand and just like prayed to God I didn't like burn all my hair off. And I was physically ironing my hair. I forgot my straightener. Didn't have a hotel until the night of. And you know what? Worked out better anyway, because you get those late night deals that they post sometimes. Got a beautiful hotel for the price of a motel. Okay. That's what we're doing over here. Hotel living, price of motel living. So it all worked out. Had a great trip. Did some hiking this morning. Great shopping, self-reflecting, did some self-care, sat in the hot tub last night, met up with some great people today. It's just been a really good trip, but I thought, boy, oh boy, you type A's would just lose your mind if you saw this. You would not want to do this trip with me. Truth be told, because I was in travel alone, I knew that I could type B it up. You know what I mean? Give you all a heart attack if you saw it. All right, let's go ahead and rate this episode. This is going to be our kickoff. It's going to be the holiday guide. And it's going to be, I think, helpful to a lot of people. It's going to be like friends talking. Tips, tricks, emotionally and fiscally. And just kind of getting ready for November and December. So incredibly wholesome, good episode. And I think it'll do your heart good. It's going to hit some of our heartstrings. So any demographic that watches from any side, any corner, I think that you'll take something from this for sure. So this will be a heart episode, but easy going. All right. Should we go through our bulletin? Well, I'm sad to say, I say with heaviness in my heart that Texas State Fair is over. And this will be my last update for the 2025 season. And we had a great last couple nights there. I got out that brochure that they give that lists all of the winners. And I was like, let's get down to business. Like, you would have thought I was making a militant plan of attack in war, because we had goals, we had to get to them. And I wanted to try, above all, what won most creative this year. And that was the deep fried deviled egg Wagyu bacon cheeseburger slider. So it was a slider, so small. Wagyu beef, love a Wagyu, bacon cheeseburger slider. But instead of bread for the buns, they used halves of deviled egg. What? Talk about low carb bliss. I got an order and then I got a second order. And I had wished that I had been getting that from night one. You guys have been loving these updates. I'm going to be honest. If there was one to envy, it would be this. Now, you could easily recreate this one. And I think I'm going to do it. And honestly, in the low carb world, it's a dream, right? But here's, except for the deep fried part. Here's the hard part, though. They had such a yummy breading on the deviled egg halves that part, I don't know if that's recreatable. However, I also think it would be great without it. Even if you just soft poached an egg and cut it in half and used that, I don't know. It was so good, you guys. The regret that I have from not getting it sooner. Okay, then I had a disappointment. So tell me what you would have done in this situation too. Speaking of deviled eggs, this one stand was advertising deviled strawberries, and it looked like a deviled egg, kinda, except they were doing it with a strawberry. Intriguing, right? It was really sweet. It would have been more intriguing had it been like something savory. Like, I would have loved that. Something to think about. Something to try, would you? But tell me what you guys would have done. I was in a bit of a rush because we were leaving and I had to be at something soon after that. And I order, okay? And it's like, you really only get like 4 strawberry halves. And it was, I think it was 10 tickets. So that's $10. So that's like 2 strawberries for $10, right? We're on, you know, State Fair budget over here. We're just spending the buck. We're just spending the extra dollar because we're there, when in Rome. And I order it, and the girl comes out. She takes her hand, and she's wearing a glove. And it's so hot in that little food court where they were making everything in this one section. If you know what I'm talking about, it's like always foggy from all the grills and stuff, which most of the food's outside, but this one's inside. And she takes the palm of her hand, and she wipes the sweat off her face and then starts making the dough. Egg, you guys. I'm a little germaphobic. I didn't know what to do. And I'm thinking, I already paid the 10 tickets. You really can't say anything, right? So my question is, would you have said something? Now, had I not paid yet, I'm going to be honest, I probably would have just said, you know what, never mind, and then walked away. What would you do? I didn't know what to do. I always want kindness to lead. And I guess that even wins with sweaty, deviled strawberries. But I didn't know what to say. So she does that. And I'm like in my head thinking like, I can't eat this. Do I give it away? But that's like kind of not nice. Do I just tough it out? Like, I've ate jail food. Do I just tough it out and eat the sweaty, deviled egg strawberry? I didn't know what to do. So she's doing that. And then she quits, okay? Like, she gets busy or she walks away. And then she's gone. And then she comes back out and she's talking to somebody. So now I'm really waiting for these things. And this guy's like, I'm going to finish this for you. I'm like, okay. And then he starts finishing it without gloves on. So I don't know what was worse. I just know I wasn't meant to have them. Gross. And they handed them to me. And I was just like, okay, thanks. And I didn't have time. I had to go. So when I tell you, I just like scraped the corner of it with my tooth so that I could just get the taste on my mouth. Like, that was it. So I could, so that I could say that I had it. And then I was done. And it was just real sweet. It tastes like strawberry cheesecake. It wasn't here or there. No, good thing it wasn't great, because then I would have been really sad. But what would you guys have done? I didn't know what to do. Maybe on a different day, I would have handled it differently. I was feeling nice that day, so I let it go, but gross. So then we go on to the end of the night, and you guys, I don't know what came over me this year. Every year, I'm always sad. I hate when it ends. But we did one last picture with Big Tex. If you know, he's the Texas State Fair mascot. And they always have like old-timey country music playing by him. And I don't know, I got emotional. And my husband was like, you're not going to cry, are you? And I'm like, I'm not going to cry. No, I'm not crying. And I got emotional. I don't know what it was. Maybe I don't know. Maybe the hormones. Maybe I was tired. But I'm sad. I don't like when stuff ends. I hate when parties end. I hate when a wedding ends. I'm just like, I'm here for it, okay? I'm a good time girl. I don't want nothing to end. And I was sad. We walked out that night extra slow. So then it doesn't help the Instagram. Maybe it's the Instagram, the Texas State Fair. They romanticize stuff so good on there. I'm telling you, y'all's little video things that you make are working. And they did this real like, and that concludes the 2025 Texas State Fair. Good night, folks. And I was like, emotional over again. Until next year. If you have never been, it is worth the trip. Come, you can stay with me. All right, let's move on. Speaking of very unhealthy food, let me tell you what toxic cycle I got into this week. So I'm doing laundry, wash a pair of my husband's pants, and I go to take his pants out of the washer, and there's like 20 McDonald's Monopoly pieces all in the laundry, in the washer. And I'm like picking them out, whatever. And I don't play Monopoly anymore with McDonald's that much since it came out that like a lot of it was a scam and like there really wasn't things to win. So I'm like a skeptic now, right? But he has all these pieces. So I'm like, you know, who am I to let these go to waste? So I download the stupid app, right? And I start scanning them in, you know, boop, 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 boop. And like, I'm getting, you know, little sets. So now we're playing the McDonald's Monopoly. I don't know how I got here. Didn't want to get here. So I'm like going to the drive-thru, only ordering items that have pieces on them, taking the pieces, taking the food, and giving it to the next person I see on the corner asking for money or food. So my husband was like, yeah, I've been getting my coffees there every morning. He's like, and I don't want to throw them away, but I didn't register my little Monopoly pieces. So here I am now playing Monopoly, drinking an extra large Diet Coke gladly. But now it's even more so. Even we did something the other night and we needed some food for it. It was a volunteer thing. And I'm like, you go get as many 20-piece chicken nuggets as you can and we're going to get those Monopoly. So I'm in deep. Does anybody else still care or play? I don't know. And then I started thinking, what would keep the McDonald's workers? I know they're not allowed to play, but what would keep them from just like smuggling pieces and taking them home and then giving them to like, you know, their mom or whatever, their husbands. I don't know. Is it a scam? Do you guys play Monopoly? And are you now ordering, you know, 6 20-piece chicken nuggets and essentially catering with it? Monopoly pieces. Good Lord. What a unhealthy thing. Okay. So I am going to do a review again today. Not for the podcast. I love your listener feedback, but this was a funny one that I thought was worth talking about. So I log in to the old-fashioned Instagram, and there is a gentleman that came on there. His Instagram is Krizzy K. Carter, K-R-I-Z-Z-Y-K Carter. His profile says that he's a singer, dancer, rapper, actor. Okay. And then it says, God is good. And he's a YouTube channel, I guess. And I look at his little comments that he leaves me. And he commented on something and he said, gross. I can handle that. I've been called worse by better, right? No big deal. A lot of bots comment on stuff now too. I had to learn that there are these like, I don't even fully know what that means, but you'll be able to tell once you start picking them out. And they just leave like these random comments, good or bad. They don't even make sense. So I thought maybe it was a bot because there's no reason to say that. But then he leaves another comment and he says, I can't stand, all in caps, can't stand you. Worst person to do the show. I haven't finished watching it yet, but I wish nothing but the worst for you and your family. Krizzy K. Carter. Dang. Sir, you woke up on the satanic side of the bed today. Now look, that don't hurt my feelings because my feelings have been hurt by people that I love in my life. So Krizzy KK dancer, singer, rapper, dancer, you're not gonna hurt my feelings. Also, thanks for watching the show. So I go to his page. Now the little feisty hometown girl in me wants to sometimes run my lips back, not because you hurt my feelings, but I want to be like a little sassy. Remember that was on my self-reflection and not be so sassy. But I looked at his Instagram and then he has this whole post, this whole video. He's talking about how much God's doing in his life. And I thought, okay, that's what it is. You're trying to work on yourself. And that old enemy is trying to get you to just run from it. And I'm going to tell you something, Kizzy KK or whatever your name is, the last thing that the enemy wants is for you to engage with me. That's the very last thing. The enemy's scared of me. I do know that because I don't play his nonsense. So I like that video that you posted. I thought it looked great. And you were speaking really honestly about how you were trying to change and you were going to church. So then it all made sense. And then I was so glad I didn't run my lips back to you. Because I don't want to play for that team. I want to be on the side with the Lord. So what I did is I liked that video and I commented on that video and I said, awesome to see God working in your life. He loves you so, so much, or something, you know, something like that. And he commented back something super nice and then deleted all his negative comments. So if that isn't how it's done, right? God, I was like, that's such a lesson to do what's right. Like that's how you win a conversation. And that's how you win a debate with somebody negative. So we're praying for you, Kizzy K out there. Matter of fact, I'm going to pray for you on this podcast and I'm going to tag you in it. So if you're listening to this, if you're a believer, we're all going to pray together. You ready? Dear Lord, I pray right now that you let him know that you have set him apart, that you are trying to get his attention, and that there is war over his soul, that good and evil is real, and that the way he talked to me was not the best reflection of him. That is not really who he is. He is a man who is made to live with integrity and to be kind and to be an example of a heart that has been purified. Lord, I pray that you continue to work in his life and that he will know that he's loved, because loved people who know their worth, people who have peace within themselves, want that for everybody else. They want kindness. They want love. They want understanding and acceptance and compassion for everybody else. I pray that and speak that over him, that he would want to live a life that is honorable, that he would speak to women well, no matter what demographic they are, where they're from, TV show, not TV show, whatever. In Jesus' name, amen. And I'm not even mad at you. I know when you're on a TV show, people kind of look at you more as like a character, not like a real person. So I didn't even care you didn't like me, but dang, why would you wish bad on my family? Like, is that not just like gut evil? You can say you don't like me. That editing was on point. I am a little annoying. That's fine if you don't like me. That was the whole storyline. Stay tuned, my friend. I bet by the end we're cool. But why my family? That's so weird. That was a yuck. That was the enemy. I know that wasn't you. So that was for you, buddy. I do hope good for you. I want you to find the Lord. Amen. Okay. So today we are going to start on our official holiday guide. First, I want to touch base with the self-reflection. I had you make a list of three things that were easy. Okay. We're going to start with the easy stuff. The interview answer where they say, what are your worst qualities? And you say, oh, I'm just too organized. We're going to start with those things. And I'm going to tell you what, this can feel menial. This can feel like kind of journal culture, right? Like, you know, I know the women will do it way before the men, you know, just journal it out. That's not really what we're doing. And I promise you there's big picture prep in all this. If you trust me, I will not let you down. I promise. So I sat with mine, and mine were my piles of junk that I have, my sarcastic attitude, and then my time management. That was it. So I sat with it this week and I wrote out where I thought it came from, the root of it, a lot of it since I was young, a lot of it. And I started realizing where I had made excuses for it. And that felt bad. And I started writing out, well, you know, I'm too busy to blah, 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 blah. My schedule's so full, da, 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 da. Lots of excuses went into it. And then I talked to myself like I would talk to somebody else, or if somebody was looking from the outside into it. And I thought, dang, you really are justifying this instead of being solution oriented. I got time for every other thing that I ever want to do, right? Time to go to Denver, time to go work on this project, time to help this person, time to, you know, all these things, take a class, all these special things. But I didn't make time for these things that matter. And I felt genuine and real conviction over it. I did. Simple, basic things, not really all in all hurting people, definitely not intentionally hurting people. Nonetheless, excuses. And there are people who do not struggle with those things that I'm struggling with. It's people who didn't just work through it, but people who didn't make excuses of why they couldn't do it. What I found, which was important, was that my number one issue, the not organizing the piles of junk I create, led to time management also. Now, big picture, do I schedule in more things to my schedule than most people? Yes. Do I have more relationships in my life than more people? Yes. Do I prioritize more people in my life than most people? Yes. Nonetheless, that's all excellent time management. But then these are the things that are falling off. And it's not so crazy. I'm not trying to save the whales or whatever. It's possible. And I have wrote it off in my mind as impossible. And I felt real conviction on that. And so what I did this week on my calendar, on my schedule, I scheduled in blocks. Instead of just giving it my time at the end of the day or something in between something, I made time periods for it. And I got more done in that area than I have in a long time. And I felt so good over it. So you take control of the little stupid things in your life and you see the benefit of it. It makes you feel better. How possible is it to get done? But then even deeper, you have a soul reflection moment where you say, here I am making excuses for these things. What that does is it shines light on the fact that you're willing to make excuses for things. And when you are willing to have a conversation within your heart about the things that you do and the patterns and the things that you allow into your life, then you can apply them to the bigger stuff too. I don't want to live in denial. I don't want to be somebody who people say, boy, I don't know why she can't see that. I don't know why she can't self-reflect on that. I don't know how she misses that. And boy, she never fixes. I don't want that. And I would hope that you would feel passionate about not wanting that too. And so listen, y'all, we got to get to a place where we are good at talking about where we mess up, because it changes everything. And I'll tell you what, I wrote on those three things, probably a level of severity. I thought those things were maybe like a two or a three in the big picture of things. You know what? They're not. they're deeper than that, essentially. And I felt the heart pains of having to accept that you weren't great in that area. I felt the heart pains in like, I used to not be so bad in this area and it's gotten worse. And it sucks to admit it. It is embarrassing and it sucks to admit that you're bad at something or that you let it go, that it potentially hurts somebody, or that you were just sloppy or messy or irresponsible or disrespectful. It sucks. It sucks. It sucks. It sucks. And I encourage you to go ahead and make that list, make the three thing list and work on it. And we're going to continue to build on it every single time we talk about the Better Person Project. And then we're going to get to a place where we talk about even deeper things. If you're not in a place or the mood to self-reflect, self-reflect on that, would you? If you saw it as menial, insignificant, or below you, you're the one who needs it. So we're going to do a whole episode on the Better Person Project, and we're going to talk about self-reflection. Until we self-reflect, it's hard to then help other people. We got to be open. And you know what? I even kind of regretted it afterwards. I was like, I don't need to be like talking about my business. And they're not even that serious of things. I'm like, I don't need to be telling these people what I do. And as we go through this podcast, I am waging how vulnerable should I be? Can I be? If it was up to me in this world, where my heart is, we would all just talk. In fact, if you watch Love on the Spectrum, I know we all love that show. Sometimes I find they're just unedited response and they speak emotion. I find a level of it refreshing. And we all sit there and squirm over it, but I wish we could, even in the big, heavy heart topics that we want to talk about, the things that are hard. I am within myself trying to wage where is the line between talking too much, exposing too much. I think it's important to talk about hurt and truth and things that have happened to us. We have to talk about those things, but I do struggle where's too far, where's too much. I think things need exposed. I think we should talk about corruption. And sometimes, unfortunately, that will come at the cost of other people's feelings. Or I don't know how to talk about real issues where we expose ugly and corruption that would help us then catapult in a better direction. I don't know how to do that without putting shame to other people's names. And where is the line between tough love and being open and being real, even when you got to protect somebody? It's hard. I'm balancing that now. I want to talk about church hurt in the future. I want to talk about family hurt in the future, but I don't want to do it in a way where I disgrace people. However, I do want to tell my story in those areas, and it's hard to find the balance. And how do I protect those who were wrong? Because you deserve protection too. And how do I talk about real subjects? I want to talk about college experiences and government and local things that go on and incarceration corruption. How do I talk about it, but still not burn bridges with the people who are doing the corruption? I don't think we do favors when we're silent. At the same time, it's doing it in love. And the only example I know is how well my parents raised me, and everything they did, I knew was from a good place. So even when they were wrong, I loved them. So it's a hard one to figure out, hard one to balance. So know that I want to talk to you about really hard topics in the future, but I am at a tug and pull of the best way to do that. Okay, moving on. So it is officially November. Don't know how we got here. I swear we are in some kind of weird time warp. And if you go too far on the edge of the internet, you'll hit some of those weirdo pages where they talk about how like time is actually like scientifically moving faster. I don't know anything about that. But when I hear those weirdo videos, I'm like, you know, maybe they're not wrong, because it doesn't not feel like we're in fast forward. I swear to God, it feels like things are just whipping by, and it's November, December. I know a lot of us are excited. Some people are out there just like busting at the seams to hang out their Christmas decorations, and some people are not. And I know majority of people can feel really heavy knowing that it's coming ahead. And I am with you on that club. I used to not be. I love the holidays, still love the holidays. I love any reason to celebrate, love a theme, love gathering, love it all. But went through some tragedy in my life not all that long ago, and went through a lot of it. And all of a sudden, then your feelings shift and it becomes hard. And holidays, they ping, they hurt extra, extra heavy, extra hard. And I have learned to kind of compartmentalize it to where the one thing that has gotten me through the hardest of times is that I made a commitment within myself that joy was allowed to be joy and pain was allowed to be pain, and that I could still experience joy in the midst of pain and in terrible, awful seasons. If I chose to do something fun or lighthearted or to laugh or to do something that I would have normally done, it does not take away from the fact that I'm hurting. And that is my largest tip that I'm going to leave you with for this holiday season. So I kind of enter in that headspace. And yes, it can hurt, but I can also enjoy it. Yes, I can be sad about so many things, but that doesn't mean I can't have a great night or a festive night or love the holidays. It doesn't have to mean that. And I do think a lot of you need to hear that. I believe in my heart and in my soul, there are people that need to specifically hear that. That just because you are sad, let's say you have a fresh loss, that sucks and that hurts. But when my loss was fresh, what I had to tell myself was, I'm already a different person after this loss. I've already hurt and mourned and grieved so hard over this, doing it without end in sight even. And while that's very prevalent and real and true, I have sacrificed so much in my life to that pain. There's a part of me that will be in pain the rest of my life over those things. And I deserve some joy, dang it. I deserve the dang holiday. I'm allowed to participate and to celebrate and to feel the holiday and to just have some joy sprinkled into it without me neglecting the part of me that's hurting and grieving. And I want to speak that for you too. if you're lonely, if you're going through loss, if divorce, what used to be, what could have been, a death, a loss of a baby, a loss of a job, financially struggling, whatever, can I invite you to first enter this headspace that I believe like saved me? I believe that it saved me. And allow yourself to just enjoy the holidays too. Truly, you're already hurting, you're already grieving. Let that be a little sprinkle of joy. I love Christmas and the holidays and Thanksgiving, all of it. It's beautiful. New Year's Eve is one of my favorites. Always look forward to it. It's important. And give yourself the permission to enjoy it just simply for what it is. Let yourself feel that and feel that. And there will be people who will say to you, I know a lot of people said to me, you know, I didn't know how bad you were hurting because you seemed like you were doing okay. And that is going to be the consequence for that. That will be the consequence. And that's okay. I don't know that everybody has to know how terrible you're hurting. And in a dream world, they would care about you enough to ask, are you okay? And how are you doing? And you're not being fake. Don't even allow the enemy to convince you that you are. You are allowed to feel joy in the midst of the storm also. And that will change how you navigate and dictate an entire season. And I really want to suggest that to you, that you can enter that. I also had to have a moment of kind of self-reflection with myself on the holiday. And I can kind of feel it starting in October. And I started thinking like, ooh, like my heart kind of gets this holiday heaviness, as much as I love it, as excited as I am for it. And I thought, well, in the spirit of self-reflection, why don't I ask myself, why? Where did this come from? Why do I feel it? What am I actually feeling? I gave myself the time of day to have a conversation with my heart. Why am I actually sad? What am I really feeling? And I took a walk, walked my dogs, and I just thought about that, prayed about it, sat with it. And I thought, well, it's because so much in my life changed at once. And maybe in time we'll talk about those things, but a lot of loss and a lot of gain, a lot of good and a lot of bad happened to me in this whirlwind of a few years. And this was now a few years ago. And everything changed. Like my whole life kind of changed. What I knew to be home and true and what I knew to be the holidays, it was different. Lots of death, lots of loss, and lots of loss for people who weren't even dead and people that I would have at one point spent holidays with. That all changed and all shifted, as lots of things do with death. And that was the bad. The good was that I got married and I moved to Texas. That was the good, but all still change. The good and the bad change. A new place, new lifestyle. Being married is very different than being single. New holiday dynamic, you know, situation. And what I realized is I was feeling that kind of yuck holiday because of I have not found my new holiday yet. I have not established a new feel good for what it is. And I'm hurting in that kind of in between. There's things I do, things I love to do for the holidays. And some things are transitional still. And I will probably for a long time, probably always go back to Ohio for Christmas. I have an opa who's alive, a grandpa who's very important to me. He's my priority for Christmas. And I think I feel the pull of the holiday travel. And I don't know that I can come up with what the new things are. They say make new traditions. I love the thought of that. I don't know that I'll have that exactly for what the holidays are. But what I did do was identify as that's why it hurts, because I'm still longing for what was in a holiday. And I'm missing, and I knew that, but I'm not just missing those who are gone. I'm missing falling into the traditions of what always happened. And I was nice to myself. I was kind to myself over it and kind of talked to myself. And I thought, I said it to myself. I said, that's why. And I gave myself some thumbs up for continuing to celebrate and wanting to be happy and enjoying it. And so What I know to do right now for the solution to that, and maybe this can be encouraging to you, if you know probably something needs to change and now you need to come up with new traditions, but you're not there yet, you don't know what those will be. What I've decided to do is, while I might not be able to hammer out all the details on the actual holiday, I don't know what Thanksgiving could look like in the future, but for right now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to enjoy all the good and all the fun in the season leading up to it. I'm going to take the pressure off the day of Christmas and the day of Thanksgiving. I'm going to take that pressure of, you know, it has to be this like planned, beautiful, magical thing. And let me tell you what, if you are somebody who's lucky enough to still have the same home base to go to with the same people, the same traditions, and you've had it since a child and you go into it, that's such a gift. It's beautiful. I'm envious over it. I wish I had it. You know, it's incredible. And you are very, very lucky. But there are people out there who are floundering in the changes of life and they're struggling with the shift. And I'm definitely one of those people. So what I'm going to do is committing to myself to enjoy the entirety of the season. And if that means having side celebrations, side trips with people, you know, whatever, going to the Nutcracker, going to the lighting of the tree, taking a little other trip or spending it somewhere else, I'm going to do that. And it really is more than just the day of. The day ofs are very special, but there are lots of things to partake in. And if you are somebody who doesn't have a large group of people in your life, whatever that may be, friends, family, then plug into, do the festivities at church. Plug into anything that's local. Volunteer somewhere. I mean, it's hard, but it helps. It's hard, but it helps. Have a harvest party, have a Friendsgiving, have, you know, whatever you can do. I'm going to host a neighborhood Thanksgiving at my house, and we're going to have some of our neighborhood kids over. I'm going to have some people from church over, and that's going to be, that Thanksgiving in itself is going to be special. It takes the pressure off the day of, and that's my emotional suggestion to you of how to kind of handle this if it hurts. And above all, what I want to say is, I'm sorry if the holidays are hard on you, and I'm sorry if it doesn't feel like it used to. And I understand. And sometimes stuff just hurts. You know, sometimes stuff just isn't what it was. And I'm sorry. I'm hurting for people who I know it hurts for. I'm hurting for you. And it makes me emotional because I'm so strong in my faith, so optimistic, and very loved by so many people. But I do know that there are people who don't have the faith like that, don't feel optimistic and aren't loved. And I hurt for those who are in the valley. I do. I empathize so deeply with them. And to know that there are people that will spend holidays alone, and I would think that that kind of loneliness would be consuming. So I'm mindful of you, and I'm hurting too. You know, I can't say get over what was, because sometimes we can't, because sometimes what was really great. And it should be hard to get over those things. I don't have the answer to a longing heart, but I do know that there are ways to put some salve on it. And I do know the Lord comforts us. And I'm sorry if you're hurting. So that leads me into my next suggestion for this season. And I am always trying very hard to talk about this topic all the time in the holiday season. And I'll put Facebook posts and talk to people about it and even say it at church sometimes if I have the opportunity. But I'm going to ask that you go into this season, you think of one person in your life, one person. This will also help. Even if you're the one hurting this season, if your heart hurts this season, you think of one person who is also hurting or potentially hurting more. Think of one person in your life. It could be someone you're close to. It could be a family member. maybe you have a family member in your life who has lost somebody. Maybe it's like a distant cousin, or like maybe your, I don't know, maybe your aunt just lost her husband, or maybe, I don't know, but think of someone in your life. Oh gosh, you guys, I get so emotional. Sorry. Whew, I'm trying to shake it off. Think of somebody in your life who is either going through loss or is lonely or hurting this year or financially struggling this year. Anybody. If you have nobody in your life that you can give to, think a layer even deeper, harder. Maybe you have a neighbor who is older, lonely, whatever. And I want you to think of somebody that you can really be intentional with this holiday season. When I lived in Ohio, I had a neighbor. And Chris, I doubt you listen to this, but if you ever find this, know that I love you and I think about you. And he was an older man. He had had a really successful career in his life and found himself living alone and lonely. And he lived on my street. And there were many years where he was my focus, many years. And I would have dinners with him. I would bring him like Christmas baskets, like the morning of Christmas. And I would do anything I could. And it was really cute. One year we shared a turkey together and we got to the wishbone. And I said to him, okay, let's take out the wishbone. And he said, oh, can I just keep it? And I said, well, sure, you're supposed to break it. And he said, no, I want to keep it. And he told me that that year was so special to him that he kept that wishbone on his cabinet for years and years and years. Then after I moved, he mailed me that wishbone. It was just so sweet. And I want you to think of somebody that is hurting this year. Maybe it's their first year after losing somebody. And I want you to be intentional about them this year, whether that means that you financially bless them, whether you invite them to your Thanksgiving or your Christmas or go crazy and do both, or New Year's Eve, whether you do your own separate thing with them. Maybe you just bring gifts. Maybe it's a family that has a ton of kids and you know that they don't have a ton of money or they're financially hurting this year. Maybe you just bless them. Maybe you have them make a list. Maybe you bring them toys. It could be anything, anyone, an elderly person. It could be anybody in your life, even if you don't know them that well. And I want to proposition to you that you, in your little mind, don't tell them, that you take them in, you quote unquote kind of foster them this season. And you are going to just go the extra mile, the extra step to let them know that you're thinking about them, that you love them, that you're mindful of them, and help them have a good season. Even if it's stupid, I know for my neighbor, sometimes like a couple Christmases, I just left him. I would be going usually a couple hours away to Cleveland for Christmas and I wouldn't even be there that day or be hosting anything to invite him to. But that morning I would go and I would leave him like a Christmas movie and popcorn and cookies that I made and like little cutie gifts. And I think I gave him like a bottle of wine one year and just things. So that day he would still be alone, but that he could say, somebody thought of me today, and to just have like a little something special. So who can you think of that you can bless this year that's hurting or lonely? That's my challenge to you. So what's cool about this is not only do you brighten their holiday season, but if you're struggling, I promise you giving will brighten yours also. That's kind of that Christmas magic that we're all chasing. I remember feeling the Christmas magic as a kid and then missing it in my like early 20s. And I was like, Christmas is not the same. But you know what made it the same then? It was when I learned how to majorly give for the holidays. So I encourage you to do that. I also want you to be mindful of the people that travel. I am always the person that travels on holidays, and that's the sacrifice you take when you move out of state. I understand that. Living in Texas, being from Ohio, I receive that responsibility. However, it's hard when you got to travel holidays. So be mindful of those who are traveling for the holidays. Do whatever you can do for them. If you have people coming in from out of town, open your home to them. I mean, really, roll out the red carpet. Make them feel welcomed and comfortable. If you have an extra car, say to them, you need to borrow my car while you're here. Like, I know you flew in or whatever you're traveling. Dare I say this? If you have the same people who travel year after year after year to come see you, offer to buy one of the flights or give them a big chunky gift card for gas. and be mindful of the people that travel. You have a ton of hotel points. Say, hey, can I give you the hotel points for when you're here? You can stay here. I know you traveled really far. It's the traveler's heart on the holidays, especially if you travel for Thanksgiving and then for Christmas. So be mindful of the traveler in your life. I ask that you think about that and just give to the ones who are going the extra distance. You know, stock up your fridge for them. If you know they love Diet Coke, put a dang Diet Coke in that fridge for them. You know, just ask them. And that's part of the holiday season too. Go ahead and just book the hotel for them. Book the hotel for them that they're going to be in your area, and just have it ready for them. Thank you for being the one who always comes and makes the effort. Throwing that out to you, I think you'll be really glad that you did it. Now let's talk about, this is like where I'm great. This is my sharpest area for the holidays. And if you will listen to me on this, I promise you, you will thank me on this. I promise you, you'll thank me on this. Shop now. It's the beginning of November. Start it right now. You'll be so glad that you did. Even if you get a little rush off of being in the madness on December 23rd, you know, in the mall, psycho crazy, you could still do that too. Start right now. Shop sale. People have good sales right now. Shop the sales and go and seek out the sales. Like what I'll do is I'll go to flip through all the stores that I like their websites. Whoever has the sale right now. So let's say, you know, whatever. I find whoever's having the big sale right now. What I will do is I will go to that sale and I will shop with the intention for just like one person. So I'll be like, oh, like they're having 30% off the whole store right now. Great. I'm going to go and I'm just shopping for my goddaughter, only her. And that alone, I'm saving like $200-$300 in doing that. Then as much as you hate Black Friday, I know everybody loves to hate Black Friday. They now start the Black Friday sales like the weekend of or the week of. Shop that now. And if you get overwhelmed by it, like, too many people, I don't know what they want, then just concentrate on one person. And I'll even do like, okay, this week I'm just shopping for X, Y, and Z part of the family. This week I'm just shopping for X, Y, and Z. Shop sale, do it early, start now. Now, I mail a lot of gifts because I'm out of state. Let me tell you what I've started doing. I have already had gifts ready to go and boxed in a line. Now, to be fair, I start Christmas shopping in like August, maybe even July, maybe even before. And I have it labeled, taped, ready to go in a row. I even have some prepaid for labels on some of them. So then once Christmas rolls out, I'm going to tell you, those packages are ready to go. I probably have 6 ready to go right now. Started writing Christmas cards in August and those are ready to go too. So I'm not going to be paying top dollar stressed out during the weeks of Christmas. It's not going to happen because your girl saves a dollar and I'm savvy. It's smart to do. Trust me on this. You'll be glad that you did it. Men shopping for women, y'all know you are the worst. You know that. Let me tell you some things that she's going to love. Buy her a nice fragrance. Get her any kind of service. Say, hey, Christmas is coming. I know you're going to want to look good for Christmas. You know what I got you? I got you pedicure, manicure, hair salon gift certificate so that you can look right. And then go get her like a $100 Anthropologie gift card and go get yourself a Christmas sweater. This is your present now for Christmas. I'm going to give it to you beforehand so that you can be straight for the holidays. Do you know how much somebody would love that? Do you know how thoughtful and intentional and mindful that is? Easy. Great gifts. Save a buck. Don't pay top dollar the week of. Do Black Friday. Whatever. Save the buck. Get a coupon code. Like, let's say your girl like loves like whatever, any brand, right? A sport brand. Join the website or get the email, get on the email and then get the 10, 20% off coupon and then buy it that way. Listen, they're trying to milk us out here. Save the dollar. I hope that kind of helps as we enter into this holiday season. You are not alone. If your heart is heavy, you're not alone. If you're hurting, you're not alone. And look up even, you know, if you don't belong to a church, we'll talk about that later too. But look up what kind of things your church is doing. And why don't you ask if you can head something up? Hey, can we do a Thanksgiving dinner for the community? Can I head that up? Can we do a toy drive? Can I head that up? I promise you, you will feel better. You will catch the Christmas spirit, and we're going to get through this together. And if this holiday hurts for you, be good to yourself, sit with yourself, and ask why. In the weeks to come in November, we're going to be doing a gut check on thankfulness. Now, I love the topic of thankfulness, and not in a home goods wall hanging kind of way. Like, in this home, we're thankful. No, not in a home goods way. I'm not thankful in a home goods way. I'm thankful in a gut check way. We're going to check our gut and how thankful we are. I think a lot of bad attitudes are because of ungratefulness. A lot of issues in this country, ungratefulness. And I don't want to talk about it in a cliche way. I want to talk about gratefulness like in a gut way. And I'm going to tell you what. My largest gift and takeaway from being incarcerated, from being in jail, is I came out of there. I don't even know how to say it with enough severity in my words. Where thankfulness is now a lifestyle for me. It is not just a platitude or like a cliche, cheesy thing for me. I function out of pure gratitude and thankfulness now. And I'm going to talk to you about my process of that to come to. We are also going to talk about one of my absolute favorite subjects, and that is the dang pilgrims, rebels, trailblazers, like just rebels. The dang pilgrims, like, are my people. I'm going to give you a perspective on them that is one of my, it's like literally one of my favorite topics. I love talking about Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the pilgrims in a way like you would think we were talking about like Bonnie and Clyde. Like, I love them. Like, I think they're like, you know, like they're bad, like they're bad, like in a good way, like out here just changing the world. Like, I almost want to like use like the curse word of it, like, you know, bad A, like that's what they all were. They were wild. And I wish we could just talk about that now. I can't wait to talk about it. And in the month of November, I am also, every episode, I'm going to do a PDA. And oh man, how do I say this with enough passion? One of the best things you can do in this life is to learn how to speak life over people, to say good things to them, and to tell them how much you love them. I think that we should live our life like a funeral. You know, we always speak so well of the dead, and we say all these great things about people when they die. I think you should say those things to people now. I think you should tell people how great they are. I think you should acknowledge them in their struggle. I think you should speak life over them. And from a biblical place, do you know that the root of prophecy is encouragement? And so in this season, I'm also going to challenge you for you to speak boldly and passionately and descriptively about the people in your life and what they mean to you and why you're thankful for them. So my first PDA shout out goes to my dear friends in South Carolina, Michelle and Floyd Daughter. I want to give you guys the first PDA. Oh, here I go. I'm getting emotional again. Dang. I've never cried on this podcast, and now I'm showing my real colors, and I am a crier, and I want to cry twice. Okay, wait, let me try to blink the tears away. So I have spent a significant amount of time the last couple of years in South Carolina. I was there for work. And I have a home church in Texas, but when I was in South Carolina, I would think to myself, you know, I wish I had a church to go to. Started going to a church that was directly across the street from my house. Like, you know, I could almost stand in the middle of the street and touch both doors with my fingertips. And I met a couple. Dang it. Okay. Who revived my beliefs that Christians could act like Christians. And my heart is very church weary. It is. I love church. I love the Lord. I love the church. I'll fight for the church my whole life. But I was coming off of a couple years of brutal church hurt. I got beat up. The church jumped me. Is that a book title? The church jumped me. And my heart hurt because I always hurt that Christians don't act like Christians. Discourages me. And then I meet Michelle and Floyd. And for the first time in a long time, I met Christians who acted like Christians. And I tell them that almost every time I see them, I say, you guys are like real Christians. Golly, why am I so emotional? Shoot. Oh, man. And their lives show Christ publicly and privately. And the way that they treat people they love, the way they treat people they don't love, or they don't like, or people who aren't being very nice to them. And they're passionate about the Lord and people and humans, and they do things for people with joy in their heart. They don't ask questions. They just show up. They have lived a life that I know that God will thumbs up. They get to judgment day. They've had foster kids. They've had people in their home who need the Lord. They have been kind to my friends. They've been kind to my friends that they didn't even know. They were kind to me when they didn't know me. They have given to me over and over and over again. They have treated me like family from the beginning of our friendship to the end. They've made time for me. They've showed up when I didn't even ask. When I was moving, they just showed up at my door and got me into shape and loaded up my truck for me and did everything for me. They are just some of the most genuine, true-hearted Christians I have ever met. Active in their church. They serve. And you know what? They serve in their church without offense. They're good to those who stir the pot. They're good to those who are good. They're good to those who are kind. And they're good to those who aren't. And they have just renewed. They've renewed my faith in Christianity. And in Christians, I often feel very alone in the sense of I am trying very hard, not always succeeding, but trying very hard, eye on the prize, to live a life close to Christ. I'm trying. And that means abandoning offense. That means restoring things that are sticky. That means pushing through hard emotions, growing over and over again. They have always shown up for me. They have never discouraged anybody or let anybody down. And I adore you and I love you. You are a rare breed. Thank you. I don't know many people like you. And I am proud to call you friend. You are some of my best friends. I can't believe the way you show up for people and deliver and travel, and they'll travel all over the place. You know, it's funny. One of the first things Michelle and I bonded over is she's originally from Ohio also. Then they have family and history in Dallas. And I lived there. And then they're in Charleston, South Carolina, and I was working there. So we were all doing that triangle, driving it at the same time for years. It was wild. And we would see each other in, you know, those places. And it was just really fun. It was just, what are the odds? So crazy, right? So I love you guys. And you will have always been one of the biggest blessings in my life. And you've impacted me and your family. And I just adore you. I gotta stop talking about you. I cry. I'm a crier, so it's not too serious. I've just been hiding it for the podcast. It only took me 9 episodes before you saw. But I love you and I'm thankful for you. So in the season of thankfulness, thank you. Anybody is lucky to know you and to have you in their life. And I mean that. Man, you are healing something in me and restoring hope in me. And you don't, well, you probably do see it. So I love you. I appreciate you. And I encourage you in this holiday season, in this month of thankfulness, to to do it sincerely and in a real way, would you reach out to somebody and say, I love you. Thank you. I'm thankful for you. You're the best. That's the least we could do, right? So join me the rest of this month as we go more into gut check on thankfulness. And I got some good stuff in the field of thankfulness for you. You can add me on most socials or all socials. I'm getting a lot of feedback on the podcast on my Facebook. And Facebook feels a little antiquated to me, but add me on dang Facebook. Nina Rainer Palmer, R-E-H-N-E-R, Palmer, P-A-L-M-E-R. I'll pop up. You'll see my mug on there. I need to go blow my nose. I love you guys. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for the podcast. I'm thankful that you listen. And I'm thankful it's doing well. So what an emotional holiday guide for this season. We laughed, we cried, we talked about sweaty strawberry deviled eggs. Would you come back next Monday? Because I will be here waiting for you. And we're going to just have a gut check on thankfulness. All right. Cellmates, we'll talk soon. Bye.